Welcome back into the show. It is Monday, which means at Cable's Pub and Grill, enjoy all-you-can-eat spaghetti for just $5.95. I was there on Friday. I love going to Cable's. I mean, meeting clients there, friends there. Sometimes I just bring my computer there and I get some work done just because I love the environment. That's Cable's Pub and Grill. Got all-you-can-eat spaghetti going on today. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Nikola Jokic will not play for the Serbian national team in the upcoming FIBA World Cup as he rests from Denver's extended postseason run, according to a source from ESPN. Angel, I don't know if we've had this conversation before, but do you have any problem with this? Like, again, you're not Serbian, I get that. But if a player from America says, you know what, I'm just going to take the year, take the summer because I need to focus on rest and getting better for the next season. I have always been in the camp, and this is just how I am on it. It's not means I'm anti-America or anything like that. I care about the NBA more than I care about Team America and the Olympics. I just, that's as a viewing person, I like to watch swimming more in the Olympics and things like that, but I don't really care about any other leagues throughout the year. So basically, sports that I like to watch religiously throughout the season, basketball being one of them, I don't suddenly gain a new interest when they're playing against each other in a World Cup fashion or in the Olympics or anything like that.
Yeah, I think with maybe the NBA, I think a lot of international basketball is primarily focused on the teams, like, you know, your Team Canada's, Team Great Britain, whatever. United States, we have our own team, and it's the 30 teams of the NBA, and we follow
Correct.
All of those
teams. We have
teams,
our own league. Why do we need to one team? You know,
right.
We have our own league.
And, you know, we talk about the Dream Team and the other Dream Team in 2008 or 12, whichever it was. There was a moment where we did take a lot of pride in our, you know, national basketball team. I think since you've seen a number of star players opt out of it, you're seeing less and less. It's becoming more of almost a developmental team thing, or kind of like an offshoot of the G League for your younger players. So, yeah, I mean, I know for like an international case for like Serbia, I'm sure this is kind of disheartening that Jokic isn't playing, because I'm sure they would have loved to see him play after winning a world title. So just a little different for us.
Yeah, I wonder how bad it bothers them, because they take it a lot.
That's how
collectively
he was a Serbian player before he was a Nugget.
Yeah, collectively they take that pretty seriously compared to us. Like, you might get, you or me or Tanner on one hand might go, no, you got to go play for your country first and foremost and then everything else. I'm like, heck no, man. If it's going to mess with you going into the actual NBA season, no way. And then maybe there's some guys in the middle of the road. But, you know, in the Serbian culture there, like, they take their basketball freaking seriously there. Especially when it comes to their, you know, as far as country support and things of that nature. So, personally, I'm glad to see it, because Joker had a long freaking season, man. The World Cup tips off like in a month, and it's going to be played across the Philippines, Japan, and Indonesia. The tournament will produce seven berths for the 2024 Olympics in Paris. So, I mean, it's a big deal. Don't get me wrong, it's a big deal, but when you even look at the Team USA roster, it doesn't feel like that big of a deal, does it? It's like Mikal Bridges and Jalen Brunson, who's a stud. Obviously, you got Anthony Edwards in there. Some decent, some good players, some really good players, and then some average. Brandon Ingram's in there. Jaren Jackson Jr.'s in there. Cam Johnson. Bobby Portis from Milwaukee. Austin Reeves is going to be in there. I just have never really been one of those guys when it comes to basketball. I don't even really watch. Like, the Olympics, was it going to be next year? I don't even really watch basketball in the Olympics. Do you get into that?
Not a ton. I watch the other Olympic sports.
That's how I am. I watch sports that I don't normally watch. Yeah, like, I get into, like, I'm not going to sit down today and look for the, you know, the big swim meet coming up. I'm not going to go find it. But in the Olympics, yeah, I'll root for Team USA. Heck yeah. It's not that I don't root for Team USA. It's just that I don't get into it on the conventional sports side of things. When I get it all year at a very high level in the NBA, I'm getting it at the highest level. especially now that all the best European players are coming over to the NBA and playing, we're getting at an even higher level than before. So good for the Joker, man. It was a long freaking summer for him. Makes total sense. I mean, they just wrapped up like a month ago. It's been only like a month. So good for him. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Christian Brown has certainly been making the rounds, getting his name out there more. He's kind of like J.R. Smith. I don't think he's put his shirt back on since the parade. I really don't. Do you think that he can really take that leap to where we need him to be, where Bruce Brown was? Because, again, only Bruce Brown was just there, same amount of time Christian was. Of course, Bruce brought in his history of being in the NBA and being with Brooklyn and things like that. But short time, we knew what we got in Bruce Brown. They figured out that combination and made it work, and he packed a freaking punch with Denver. Can Christian Brown really elevate his game to the point where they feel okay about Bruce Brown? Because they knew they weren't going to be able to get it to match that deal. They knew what they had to offer from the get-go. Can Christian Brown really take that big leap? And, I mean, you're asking him to take a pretty big leap, because the idea that, you know, Reggie Jackson or any of these, some of these other players helps fill the void that much is a little harder to believe than Christian Brown making that big leap. There's a lot of pressure on him heading into next season.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what can he take from what he did in this first year with his defensive ability, with his hustle plays? Can he start to add more of his offensive, you know, traits into it, which he does have? He's not just a defensive guy. But I don't think he was focused as much on the offensive side of the ball. And I mean, you know, the jump shots, the, you know, setting screens, pick and rolls type of stuff. He didn't do a lot of that. It was a lot of cuts, set, you know, go be a block here somewhere, and then get to the rim if you can and shoot free throws. I'd like to see him improve his jump shot a little bit, you know, because Bruce Brown really had that ability to make a clutch shot when you needed it, when you couldn't really drive to the basket. So, yeah, I think Christian, I think he'll approach it with the same mentality as he did. You know, he's a winner. He knows how to win. He knows what he needs to do to get himself better. And I think he'll approach this responsibility with a lot of, you know, excitement.
One of the – it's hard to really compare because Bruce Brown was just such a spark plug, but he was really good – at finishing near the rim. When he drive in, he could slash. Christian Brown showed some of those flashes. You know, he didn't always have the ball in his hands. Like when Bruce Brown came in the game, he's going to get the ball in his hands. They're going to try to – he's not necessarily a focal point, but he's definitely not going to shy away from getting the basketball. And a lot of times when he did, he would make one kind of move and then sprint toward the basket. And he was a very good finisher. Christian Brown, you saw that sometimes. He was smart with the basketball, though. He was calculated with his possessions because he knew he was not the first, second, third, or even fourth option while he was out on the floor. So he was very careful with that. And I think what you're going to try to see him morph into, especially in the offseason here, is more of a confident player. Yes, take care of those possessions, but you're going to have to take some chances. You're going to have to gamble a little bit more and trying to drive to the rim instead of just looking for that pass. What's that going to look like, that aggressive Christian Brown? And I think some of those games in the playoffs, you saw that. You kind of saw that edge come out in him where he's not afraid to take it to the rim. And you saw him take some big steps just in that playoff series. But I would say Christian Brown, of all the Denver Nuggets right now, has the most pressure on him going in. You know, you stuck up for your boy MPJ. And rightfully so, because he didn't score a lot. I don't think there's necessarily pressure on him coming back from that. There is, but not in a big way, because we saw he did other things on the floor to impact the game. You know, KCP is going to do exactly what you expect. He's going to be a good shooter and a pretty good defensive player. The rest of the guys, and Joker and Gordon and Murray, there's no pressure. They've pushed us all away from that. You know, now we believe in these guys. Yeah, can Murray be that consistent? Can he be an all-star? Like, those are the questions. But can Christian Brown actually be a big-time piece to what this team needs? That's what gave them – that's what allowed Calvin Booth to sleep at night this past month, is going, we think Christian Brown could take that next step. So, I mean, is that fair to say? He's got the most pressure on him more than any other Denver Nugget on this team?
Yeah, I mean, just looking at it right now, everyone is solidified in their spots, really, and it's Christian's the wild card, and determining whether or not that bench is going to need a lot more improvement, or you can just continue as you've been doing it.
Yeah, because if he doesn't step up in the first month or so, and you're starting to see, oh boy, is he going to be the guy? You have to start evaluating your other talent and seeing who's going to get more minutes. Do you have to make a move? I mean, yes, that's how critical it is. Christian Brown doesn't get that luxury anymore. Bones Highland came into last year with the luxury of still being under the radar. Maybe he can be a really good player. We know he had to play because of the injury situation in his rookie year, but he came in with the luxury of Bruce Brown being a guy that you could rely on, Jeff Green, a guy you could rely on. So you weren't asking Bones to do much. As Christian Brown came in his rookie year, they still didn't need him to do much. It's just when he came in, he earned it. He earned that spot. Well, now he has earned such high praise with the Nuggets that they felt comfortable basically bringing back Reggie Jackson and seeing what they could do with Justin Holiday. None of the draft picks are they expecting to leapfrog Christian Brown. So the moves they made were just good enough for the depth purposes. None of those moves challenged Christian Brown. All the moves to me said, we are relying on our big five, our starting five. We love Christian Brown coming off the bench. Now we're looking for other guys. So for better or worse, they are 110% putting their trust into Christian Brown coming up this season. 17 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. We'll take a short break here. Let's take a look at the AFC West, some of the big question marks surrounding each team and how difficult of a division is it going to be for the Broncos. We're a few days away from training camp. Can't wait for that. It's the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ali Farokmanesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. One of my absolute best friends. Maybe I said that. I don't know if he would say it yet. But my guy Ryan Hicks at Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor, an amazing guy. Just no question about it. What he's doing in this community is flat out, is next to none. I'm telling you right now. They work with you on risk management, commercial, and personal insurance needs for Weld County. Go to for workers' compensation and farming operations. Don't lose what you've been working so hard for. And call my guy Ryan at Renaissance Insurance, 970-674-8825. That's Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor. And you know, I'm always saying this, man. I met Ryan at Cable's Pub and Grill. That's where I met Ryan. That's where my friends truly meet. So we've got a full working circle here at the whole show with all these great sponsors and people that I trust. I mean, when I value this radio show, man, and I've been doing it for a long time. So when I'm talking about people on a daily basis, I want to make sure I'm not steering you in the wrong direction. And so when I meet great folks at Cable's, and I was going there for a while and got to know Sean, got to know the owners there, Sean and his lovely wife, he introduced me to other people, and then I get to know them and I get to trust them. And then, you know, hopefully it works out and I get to talk about them on this program each and every day. And that's what I get to do. So if you don't trust me, give Ryan a call. Find out for yourself. He'll tell you exactly what he's about and what he and his partner are about, what they established 20 years ago, being both Bears alumni. They get the community. They get all of that. 23 minutes after the hour, the AFC West, home to the Super Bowl champs and the Kansas City Chiefs. Some of the big questions surrounding the Chiefs as we head into training camp. Number one right now, it's got to be the Chris Jones thing, right? Sounds like they're extremely far apart on a contract deal, and he's not reporting at this stage. That is a big-time player for this team. And if you're hearing that they're far apart, normally that means exactly what it sounds like. Now, if you hear that they're close on a deal, that could also mean far apart. You've heard that before, right? Oh, yeah, well, both sides are close. Both sides think they can get a deal done. Well, how many times have we seen a deal fall through like that? But now when you actually have both sides coming out saying, yeah, we're far apart, that is not a good sign for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's seeking a new contract. He's entering the final year of a four-year, $80 million contract that he signed back in 2020. He is slated to make about just south of $20 million as a base salary for 2023. So I wouldn't hold my breath, Chiefs fans. The other question I have around Kansas City is the wide receiver situation again. Now, I know they lost Tyreek Hill. They made me look silly because I said life without Tyreek Hill is going to be just not as glamorous, not as easy. And they figured it out. They made it somehow better. They were spread out. Tyreek Hill made it better in Miami for himself, and Kansas City made it work too. But now you're looking at a situation where they lost Juju Smith-Schuster and Mecole Hardman in free agency. So who's going to be the person to step up? Last year was Kadarius Toney, who had, I don't know, 20 receptions, something like that. You're hoping that Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who had some big moments last year too, can be the big guy. So that's a big question mark for Kansas City. But listen, I'm not one of those guys that looks at it and says, anymore anyway, I think I've learned my lesson. I think Patrick Mahomes can make everybody good around him, so I'm not that concerned about the wide receiver situation. How about the new tackle situation, though? They made some big changes on their offensive line with Orlando Brown and Andrew Wiley departing this offseason. Now they brought in Taylor and Donovan Smith at the left and right tackles. Every time you seem to have questions around Kansas City, though, I can just give you the answer, and that's Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he has earned that right, hasn't he? So any of the big questions surrounding Kansas City, are they that big of a concern as long as you have your big money quarterback? On the defensive side, there's not much Patrick Mahomes can do for you, though. That's why the Chris Jones thing, who is a vocal leader for Kansas City on the defensive side of the ball, would be a big loss if they can't figure it out with him. On the Chargers side of things, they see your Miami Dolphins to start the season on gel. Justin Herbert, we're already getting to that time where he's coming up on a contract extension. What do they end up doing with him? Is he going? They're going to try everything to keep him, especially with the shaky grounds that Austin Eckler's on right now and what the somewhat near future looks like for him. But they're going to be looking to Justin Herbert and what he can he take that next step, and is he going to be worth that big-time extension? And then working with Kellen Moore. That's a big question I have. Can Kellen Moore do this and really help the Chargers elevate? It seems like for the past couple of years now, the Chargers have been close. They just can't get out of their own way. Can they be a really good offense that can light it up under Kellen Moore? He had the Cowboys offensive ranked fourth in the league in points, 11th in total yards. Can we see that with the Chargers? And is Herbert that kind of quarterback that can do it? Las Vegas Raiders, Jimmy Garoppolo was cleared. But how cleared is he? Like, he's had a history of injury. This is just where he is at this stage. The Raiders, I think, have the most, maybe not the most question marks. The Broncos certainly have the most question marks of all of these teams. But this is certainly a big one going forward. This is a Josh McDaniels guy. He really wanted Jimmy Garoppolo. He spent time with him with the Patriots. So this is a big move for him going forward. Moving on from Derek Carr, will that come back to bite him in the butt? Especially if Derek Carr goes on to the Saints and plays well.
Yeah, I mean, how does obviously with the Josh Jacobs thing, or there's two teams here dealing with running back stuff. Obviously the Broncos, Javonte Williams will start training camp completely healthy on the roster, ready to go, so that's good news for them. But really with the Chargers and Raiders, you're just looking at the running backs. You think the weapons are all around them on the offensive side. You got the quarterback. The defenses are, you know, if they can stay healthy, they should be pretty good. But it's going to, I think Josh Jacobs and Eckler are crucial to those offenses.
No doubt. Well, Jacob was the best running back in the league last year.
Right, and I think you would want to have that, especially for Jimmy G. If he has injury concerns, you want to take off as much pressure from him as you can. And then Herbert is just, you know, you have the weapons. You've had the weapons for your entire career. Can you finally, you know, do something other than put up the big numbers? And I'm talking about wins.
Yeah, and how much of that is with Staley, and is he just not a good coach? You know, because we've made the jokes about him that he can't get out of his own way. He makes all the wrong decisions, both the in-game personnel, playing guys when they shouldn't be playing. you know, playing guys in games that don't mean anything and then getting them hurt and just some of the play calls going in. Can they overcome that? Can Staley overcome that? Is he a good coach or is he a joke? Because he survived. I thought he was going to be done this year. Didn't you think they'd fire him at the end of this season? At the end of the last season? I was shocked they kept him.
Not after making the playoffs, no.
Yeah, but man, the move to play everybody in that game against the Broncos when you didn't need to, and then you actually get guys. Mike Williams gets hurt, and yeah, just some of those moves, man. I was shocked by it, really. But this is a big year for him. You got to get back. And then we go to our Denver Broncos. Certainly the biggest question mark is Russell Wilson. Is 16 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, 3,500 yards. I mean, that was bad last year. I mean, night and day difference. July 24th last year, we were still very optimistic, very excited, couldn't wait until training camp with Russ and Nathaniel Hackett. This year, it's like, this could be the end for Russell Wilson. You know, a guy that had an arguable Hall of Fame career leading up to last season. Now he's on the hot seat, man. I mean, he's got to be on the hottest seat in the NFL, right? I mean, he's got to be the guy feeling the most pressure because this could be it for him. He's on the cusp of Hall of Fame, but if he comes out and puts up another crapper of a year, it's over. Because Sean Payton's it's going to be the opposite of last year. Hackett was the scapegoat this year. Russell Wilson will be the scapegoat this year. Hackett was last year. Wilson will be the scapegoat this year. Because they made their draft picks. They traded for Payton. They're paying him the money. They got him to the deal. They are going to say, that's our guy. Russ, if it works out, neat. You can go on and try to elevate your game and get back, right back into Hall of Fame status. But we are saying it's Sean Payton. It's funny because last year it was the opposite. It was Hackett, we're bringing Russell Wilson in. You're our rookie coach. We believe in you. But if you can't make it work with Russ, there's the door. It's the complete opposite this year because Russ was so bad. You had to fire somebody, and they couldn't move on from Russ, so they had to move on from Nathaniel Hackett. So obviously that's the big question mark. Sean Payton. You know, where is he now after a little bit of time removed from the NFL? And, you know, we saw him kind of on the downward trend with the Saints. Can he up his game to coach in this league? And it's not like he's been out for several years now, so I'm not really concerned about his football knowledge not syncing up to where we are in these days. But, you know, when he left the Saints, I mean, most of what he did with the Saints was with Drew Brees. Now, I'll give you with... Once he and Drew Brees got it figured out, man, they were very tough to beat. And I really don't care if it was more Brees, if it was more Payton. If you guys can find that right combination and make it work, then it really doesn't matter. So can Sean Payton revive the Broncos, and can he revive Russell Wilson's career? That's going to be the big one. Javonte Williams' health. That's a big question mark. He's cleared for takeoff, it sounds like. We're going to be seeing him participate in training camp as soon as Friday. So, I mean, that's big news there. The other question I have is the wide receiver situation. Who's going to be the guy? Is there a guy? Is Jerry Jeudy truly a lethal weapon for the Broncos on offense? Can Cortland Sutton get back to his, you know, what he looked like about 2 or 3 years ago? And Tim Patrick coming off the injury, missed all of last season. Can he come back and be the player we thought he was before he got hurt? I mean, George Payton loved both of those guys. Signed Cortland Sutton and Tim Patrick to their contract extensions. Since then, Sutton hasn't lived up to it. Patrick gets hurt. This is a big year for the wide receivers on this team. And then finally, can all the new pieces, you know, all these new pieces on offense, on the offensive line, a good defensive lineman there, can they all work together? Because I've heard some people say, no, the Broncos didn't improve the roster enough. They improved the roster, at least on paper, in a big way. I mean, they brought in McGlinchey, man. They brought in one of the best tackles in the game. How can you say they didn't improve this roster? They brought in Zach Allen, one of these really good defensive linemen. I mean, this, and they get Sean Payton. I know he's not part of the roster, but you mean to tell me Mike McGlinchey and then Ben Powers at left guard and Zach Allen bringing him as the right defensive end? Like, those are pretty big moves. And then bringing former Kansas City Chief in, Frank Clark. They've made the necessary moves to improve this roster. How good are they going to be? We won't be doing AFC West this week. We're still in the NFC. We got one more division on Friday that we're looking at in the NFC, and then we'll start busting into the AFC. All right, 34 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Dixon texting in on the First Advantage text line. Smells like 11 wins to me. I guarantee you this, Angel. I will not predict the Broncos to win 11 games this year. I'm more reserved about it. They might win 10 and a half, but they're not going to win 11 this year. I think this is going to be kind of a recharge year for Denver. Get back to, I think Russ can have a good year and all that stuff, but I'm just not looking at him going, this is going to be the cream of the crop in the NFL. I think the AFC West is going to be a battle. I think with the Chiefs, there's some concern, I guess. Tackle situation, wide receivers, Chris Jones. There's concerns, but you have the best quarterback on the planet. Patrick Mahomes has now gotten to that status where as long as you have him, you've got a shot. And that's where it was with Tom Brady. That's where it was with Peyton Manning. Mahomes is that guy now. I mean, Travis Kelce, pairing him with Travis Kelce for a while is going to be a good idea. But I've seen enough now to know that, yeah, you can reshape the offensive line around him. He can lose a couple of weapons on the wide receiver side of things and all of that. But I've seen enough with this guy. That time and time again, Patrick Mahomes is that good where I'm not overly concerned if they have any big changes. Now, the other one too to think about too, like Eric Bieniemy. How big of an impact is him not being there going to have? We're going to find out quickly, right? Everyone was talking about Eric Bieniemy. Why is he not getting a job? And then a lot of the response was, well, yeah, Andy Reid's doing it all. Then even Andy Reid would come back and say just recently, you know, no, actually, Eric Bieniemy, he's the guy. He's making all these shots. Was he just doing that to be nice? What is it? Is that a big-time concern? I mean, I'm curious to see how it works out. Because that was the big thing with Eric Bieniemy in Kansas City. But as we keep learning with Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes, we're not going to give you that much credit for Andy Reid. Yes, we've seen him do it with Philadelphia at a high level. But Eric Bieniemy, I wouldn't be too concerned if I was a Chiefs fan that he's gone.
No, I mean, Patrick is so ingrained in the offense now that you almost don't need an OC to call plays. Like, I remember watching Brady when he was in his peak, like, Did he ever need an OC, or is it just Brady calling plays from the huddle because he knows it's his offense?
Well, Josh McDaniels was good for a moment, but then when he left, they still won Super Bowls.
Right.
So, and they still won. So and Brady goes to Tampa Bay and wins a Super Bowl. So it just depends. Sometimes it's the coach, sometimes it is the coordinator, sometimes it's the quarterback. In this case, for Kansas City, not taking anything away from Andy Reid, because I think Andy Reid is one of the active coaches that's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Patrick Mahomes is a generational player. We have not seen anything quite like him, and it really sucks that we have to see him in this division for probably the rest of his career. Don't ever see him leaving. So it's going to be like the questions that surround Kansas City, they've proven to answer more difficult questions. Denver has a lot to answer here. And they start their season off right off with a bang against the Raiders, because that's going to be a big game. It's a rivalry game. People want to know what Jimmy Garoppolo and Josh McDaniels are really about. The pressure's on for the Raiders. Which coach in the AFC West is under the most pressure? It ain't Andy Reid. It ain't Sean Payton, maybe legacy-wise, but not job-wise. Is it Brandon Staley or is it Josh McDaniels?
I'd say probably McDaniels, just the lead, because I don't think his quarterback is as set in stone. Herbert, if Staley doesn't work out, they'll get him a new coach. Herbert's not going anywhere. Jimmy, I can't tell you where he'll go. They could both be out by the end of the year, him and McDaniels.
So you say McDaniels is under more pressure than Staley?
Yep.
Man, it's like they're neck and neck. Because if both miss the playoffs this year, I could see them both gone. Right? They're gone. McDaniels is gone if the Raiders miss the playoffs this year.
Mm-hmm.
Is Staley gone if they miss the playoffs?
Yep.
I think so. Broncos can miss it. Sean Payton's free. Free and clear. Chiefs could somehow hit a massive bump in the road. Andy Reid ain't going anywhere. He's at the point now where he's probably just there until he retires because he's that age too. But again, it's not like Kansas City's not going to the playoffs. So how many teams from the AFC West in your mind are playoff teams? Who's going?
I think it's just the Chiefs.
Just the Chiefs, huh?
I think the Chargers and Broncos will eat themselves. And I could see both of them finishing around 9 or 10 and another AFC team just jumping over them.
So that means, according to that prediction, McDaniels is out and Staley's out. I'm not like... The Chargers scare me, but I'm not... That's not an overwhelming fear of mine. You know, when I look at the schedule, here's the teams that scare me the most as far as teams I'm just like, dude, I ain't touching it. Thinking the Broncos could win, have any business winning. I don't have that until they get to Kansas City, October 12th. That's the one where it's like, yeah, that's probably going to be... A lot of these I might be predicting a loss, but as far as just there's no way, I don't see it. Now, Denver's not winning in Kansas City. Maybe they can pull off an upset at home against Kansas City, but it still scares me. Kansas City's the best team in the league until proven otherwise. The game at Buffalo scares me on November 13th. The game at home against Minnesota scares me. Minnesota won 13 games last year, and you can't beat them. They were the king of the comebacks. The Giants got the better of them, but they're still that is a terrifying football team right there. I could see Minnesota going on to the Super Bowl next year. I could, man. So that team frightens me. Cleveland, nah. Houston, heck no. Chargers, don't scare me. At Detroit, is that scary? Are the Lions scaring teams yet, or are they still, they're still climbing? New England doesn't scare me. So really, as far as the Broncos schedule goes, Kansas City twice, at Buffalo, home against Minnesota. Those are the four games that are just terrifying, that nobody should have any business, other than the home game against Kansas City, maybe they pull off an upset. Nobody has any business picking the Broncos to win. Now, that doesn't mean I think they're only going to lose four games, because I could see the Miami game be a loss. I could see the Washington game be a battle. Washington could be a team to look out for. I could see Detroit be a loss. I could see one of the Chargers game be a loss. But again, what I'm saying is, no, the Chiefs, the Bills, the Vikings, those teams are in the contender status, meaning they're going to have to have a few things go wrong in order for them to lose more than three or four games this upcoming season. I think all three of those teams, Buffalo probably has the most questions because there's controversy now. But I think Minnesota's going to come firing right back, and I think Kansas City's going to come firing right back. I could see that being a Super Bowl. Kansas City and Minnesota. Minnesota's good, man, and you know, Kirk Cousins, he could be poised to even have a bigger season. I mean, Mahomes came out and said he's the most underrated quarterback in the league. You got this documentary that came out from Peyton Manning on Netflix and talking about Kirk Cousins. People are starting to get wind of this guy, even though it's taken a while. But he always puts up great numbers every single year. And now you got the studs around him. We'll see if that, I mean, I don't know. I might, when we make our predictions, I might, Brian's going to love me for this. Leaning toward the Minnesota Vikings. Is that crazy?
Maybe a little.
Who you got going over them in the NFC? Who's more feared right now in the NFC? Philly. Tampa Bay is not.
San Francisco.
San Francisco. Okay. They got quarterback issues, though. Can they keep doing it with question marks around the quarterback? Let me give you, you rank them. I'll give them Philadelphia, number one in the NFC.
Sure.
Okay, San Francisco, two.
Yep.
Seattle.
Yeah, I put them at three.
Three? Is that number three on your list?
Probably.
Giants.
No, they're not.
Cowboys.
Four. Cowboys, four.
Cowboys are at four. Minnesota.
Five.
So you got Minnesota in the top five. Anybody else? Saints, should we be worried about them doing anything this year?
Maybe.
Tampa Bay?
No.
Carolina?
No.
Atlanta?
God, no.
Los Angeles Rams?
Maybe.
So you got, other than, you know, you've got Philly, you've got the Cowboys, and you've got San Francisco, you've got Seattle. And Seattle's got a big question now. They've got a big thing to prove. Can they do it again? Or was it all just a facade with Geno? 48 minutes after the hour, what did we learn? Coming up next, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear Preps Talk on Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick, the fourth winningest coach in Colorado boys basketball history. Weekdays from 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
What do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what did we learn on this 24th day of July? A couple things for me. It's not really saying the Rams are going to be better, overwhelmingly better than the Buffs. I just think the Buffs' schedule is going to be more difficult, being in the Pac-12 compared to the Mountain West. CSU will win more games. Then Colorado, maybe three or four more. I think Buffs fans should be setting the old win-loss meter at four is the high hopes. Four would be a good season. I don't think any Buffs fans want to hear that, though. And then the other one, finally, is for the Broncos, at the end of the day, as we're breaking into the AFC West, the Broncos just have a lot more questions to be answered than anybody else. And so that's a big concern of mine. I don't think the West is necessarily going to be a world beater as far as the division goes. But Denver has a lot of questions, man. Keeping their heads above water in this division is going to be difficult. Angel, what'd you learn today?
I think I learned that the Rockies are rebuilding, kind of.
Kind
maybe,
of, yeah.
Could be, maybe. Tanner seemed pretty excited about the moves. Any pitching is going to help this team. I don't want to get too excited because if we flash forward to April and this team isn't what it is now, might be a little disappointed. Or, you know, we talked about, is there a plan? Is there a sense of direction? I don't feel as strongly about that as you guys did. But we'll see. You know, if the injuries and stuff have forced their hands into doing this, then I guess that's good. But we need something to happen. And if that's 64 wins or 100 losses, we're going to get one of those.
I don't know that I feel as strongly as Tanner does on the whole rebuild thing. I'll believe it when I see it. I need to see it kind of spread out over a complete offseason and all of that.
I can see it, and I can almost believe it. Can you just tell me if that's what we're doing so I don't have to – so I'm not making these expectations that are unfair?
Yeah, because it ain't going to hurt ticket sales. People are going to go down there whether they're expecting a crap team or not.
Oh, we got some young kids. I'm going to go check them out.
If you're a Rockies fan that decided to stop going to Rockies game this year because your chances of the World Series are gone, then no, that's not realistic. You're going to Rockies games because they're fun to go to regardless of the win-loss record. You're going to those games to check them out. So if you're Dick Montfort, go for broke and just say, yeah, we're in a rebuild stage. And we're going to commit to that.
And we want to rebuild with you.
Yes. We're going to continue to do that with guys like Tovar and Billy Bob and all that. We're going to keep building with these guys. Nolan Jones, Doyle, we want you to be a part of that. And this is the future of the Colorado Rockies. And we want you guys to be there and say that you were there when? At the beginning of it all. And this is the official, this upcoming season will be officially the beginning of it all. We're retooling this roster for a long-term success plan. That's what we're doing. Maybe Dick Montfort will surprise us all and come out with that. All right. Thanks for being with us here on this Monday. We'll be back at it on a Tuesday. And we're getting close, man. We're getting very close. Broncos training camp coming up on Friday. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.